Let's Talk Land, a weekly land education talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, and ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts. Free land education. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I'm an accredited land consultant with United Country Real Estate. Sutton Properties, our new company name, along with my co-host, Teresa Martin. Hey, Teresa.
Hi, Lou.
She's one of our agents in our firm. Buying or selling homes, land or farms, or want to auction your property in Western Piedmont, North Carolina, Southern Virginia, just give us a shout. We'll help you out. Our new office is at 102 East Main Street next to BB&T Bank in downtown Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Please make a note of our changes. Our new company website is www.allsuttonproperties.com. That's allsuttonproperties.com. Program note, Dr. Barbie Ask the Doctor show will now follow this show and will air at 10 a.m., so stay tuned. Dr. Barbie always has something of importance to listen to. Our guest today is Susan Jane Kirkpatrick. Welcome, Susan.
Hi, Lou. Thank you.
And you're calling from from where?
Suffolk, Virginia.
Suffolk, Virginia. Wow, what a great town. Your company is called Bookkeeping 21, and you've authored a book called Susie's Business Survival Guide. And if I may, Susan, let me just give a little background for our audience. She's a senior entrepreneur and business owner with more than 30 years of experience in all aspects of growing and operating real estate sales agencies and real estate development companies. With a proven history in building strong bottom lines, Susan excels in development and execution of systems and strategies that expedite growth while staying sane. That's interesting. In 5 years, she's turned her mother-in-law's small rural real estate company into a national leading enterprise. She grew the company from 300,000 annual sales to $23 million in a small town of 800 people. Now, I want to know how to do that, don't you, Teresa?
Absolutely.
And it was a sister company. You know, we own a United Country franchise. But out of 700 offices nationwide, her office earned the coveted number one United Country Real Estate National Franchise office ranking in 2006 and was consistently in the top 10 for 8 straight years. Congratulations. That's quite an accomplishment because we got a lot of good firms out there. Susan holds a bachelor's degree in secondary education, English, from Rowan University in New Jersey. Is that where you grew up, Susan?
Yes.
What town?
Until I could move.
Yeah, I hear you. What town was that in?
I was in Willingboro, New Jersey.
Where is that located?
And that was right outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. So it's southern Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
South Jersey.
Yeah, I could tell by your accent. She's a certified professional coach and a coach training allowance and a Fowler Wainwright International and is certified administrator for the Myers-Briggs type indicator. What is that?
It's a personality assessments.
Oh.
And it's one of the original MBTIs.
Okay. So we can analyze Teresa today on the show.
That'll be great.
Susan's a certified bookkeeper with the American Institute of Professional Bookkeepers and a certified Profit First professional. What's a certified Profit First professional?
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about today.
Yes, ma'am.
Was the Profit First system of cash flow management in your business.
Gotcha. Yeah, and this is going to be a great show. I can't wait for it. You're also a certified QuickBooks Desktop and Online Advanced Pro Advisor. Susan is recognized leader and mentor using her hard-earned expertise to help her clients build profitable companies without feeling financial anxiety and the guilt and the stress and the worry over money. So, golly, we got some good stuff. So what does all this have to do with selling land and land brokerage, Susan?
Well, you know, finances, I mean, they're an integral part of running any business, even if it's a family business. And land real estate brokerage isn't any different. I mean, I'm a retired real estate broker owner. I mean, we did land subdivisions, we did ranches, we did houses, cabins. And as a Profit First bookkeeping expert, my mission is I like to work with brokers, broker owners, and their agents to understand what's going on in their business. And as an independent agent, the agents that work for the brokers, they're actually running their mini company underneath the broker. So they need to know, too. And figuring out how to effectively structure your finances, I mean, it can be confusing. But when I discovered Profit First, it totally changed my business at now and my clients' businesses. So I was a broker owner, and we had a ranch, and I did all the real estate books for years myself. And then I hired a professional bookkeeper finally to help me back in, I guess, 2003. So, I mean, I understand the pain of dealing with the numbers and trying to keep it all straight. And I certainly didn't like reading those financial reports because, you know, they still don't make much sense to me.
Right.
I mean, really.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, well, how do you explain it to a client on what they need to work with from looking at those, from looking at their paperwork there on their financial reports? So when I once I hired a bookkeeper, then I knew that my numbers were right, at least. So the reports that were coming out were correct, but what were they telling me? Cash flow statements, balance sheet, profit loss, KPIs. Ugh, it was way over my head. But it's something you had to know as a business owner. You just kind of had to dive into it. So long story short, you know, I retired from real estate, and I started a coaching company. That's why the coaching and the MBTI. And when working with business clients, because that's what I like to work with, brokers and owners, they don't know their numbers. What's an ROI? How many listings does it take? What's your conversion? How long are they staying on the market? What's that convert to? No numbers. Didn't understand any of it. Couldn't tell me anything. How are we going to do advertising without understanding ROI? So I said, all right, let's go back to square one, and let's start with bookkeeping. So as a little DBA under AdvantaCoach, I have bookkeeping 21. And so that's my mission, is to help those brokers manage their businesses with the correct numbers. But they're like your lab tests that you get from the doctor. If you're looking at it, you're going, I don't know. What's a bun? I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
So then I read Mike Michalowicz's book, Profit First. Now, any of you, maybe your business owners, they've read The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur or The Pumpkin Plan. He's written a number of entrepreneurial books. And he's a former MSNBC business makeover expert. He grew two multimillion companies, decided he really knew what he was doing, became an angel investor, and then he lost his entire fortune. And so Profit First, this Profit First system and the book actually came out from him starting over again. Looking, he wanted to build a business and grow it, so but it was stable, so it was healthy. And so he subtitled, this is the second version that's out now, so he subtitled it, A Simple System to Transform Your Business from a Cash-Eating Monster to a Money-Making Machine. And I fell in love with it. And I thought, wow, if I had known this simple way of running my businesses back when I was really running big businesses, I could have had a lot less grief and angst, really. So I decided to make it a focal point of being bookkeeping 21. And so then I went to Mike's, I go through training with him to become a certified Profit First professional. That means I help companies implement this system in their books and in their businesses and in their lives. So we call ourselves PFPs. And so I teach them how to turn a profit, and I give them a profit that they can spend. And then inevitably you have roadblocks that pop up, crises that happen, and I'm there as an accountability partner to help them through that or rescale what we decided allocations were, which I'll get into it later.
Well, this is some really good information.
I think that because we have a limited amount of time, let me just kind of give you an overview of the Profit First system and how your land brokerage owners and agents can implement it to maximize their business and the tax benefits of it. And it's a simple process.
Do I need paper and pencil?
Yeah. And you're going to take notes and put smiley faces on it because it's all happy stuff.
Cool.
This is not accounting.
I love it.
This is not accounting. Money doesn't buy happiness, but lack of money is so stressful, right, that it can get in the way of anything. And I've had that. I've experienced the fear, stress. We almost went bankrupt twice. And so that brings about a valuable understanding of the emotion of money. So when you talk to people about money, it's not like talking about the weather. It brings emotions to it that may not be on the top, but they feel it from however they were brought up, whatever their experiences are, whatever their parents took them through. So when I talk to brokerage owners or business owners, it's just not about their data. It's about their experiences with finances, because I don't want them to be distracted. I want them to be happy and confident and have a feeling of freedom. And if you have consistent profits, then you're empowered. And profit is the ultimate way that brokers can do what they set out to do, and that's to build a great business that serves. If you don't have profit, you can't do it. It won't happen. There's a staggering statistic. I think it's from SCORE. That's your entrepreneurial think tank type of that helps business owners get off the ground.
Okay.
But 83% of small businesses that make under $25 million in revenue, that's most of my clients and I think a lot of us, are non-profitable. And it just blows me away. But I know personally, I know how many red years I had. And I thought I was smart. And I think my colleagues are smart and they're intelligent and they're successful entrepreneurs, but we're living paycheck to paycheck. And the business is running paycheck to paycheck. So in Mike's book, Profit First, he says that the reason that so many small businesses are not profitable is because the system we've been told to use is flawed. So we know this system, sales minus expenses equals profit. And that is a big lie.
Why is that?
Because that formula, sales minus expenses equals profit, that's the GAAP formula. That's the accounting lingo that means generally accepted accounting principles. So when you spit out your profit and loss statement from your accounting system, you're going to get sales on the top, which is your revenue, and then you're going to have all your expenses, and then that little bottom line on the bottom is what's left over, and that's your profit. It's a final thing. It's a vital consideration. Hopefully, it's a nice surprise at the end of the year. But that's rarely there. And a lot of times, it's fake. What is there? And so we continue on check to set, check. So I want to work with business owners to actually have a profit that they can spend and feel and not feel guilty about spending it. So I don't want them to just have, quote-unquote, a gap profit that's shown on the bottom of some report that we don't know how we got there, okay?
Right.
So the profit-first system is simple. It's based off the principle that when something is put last, we disregard the significance. So in order to make a profit, you have to take it first. You have to make it the priority of the business. So profit-first flips that gap formula, which is now sales minus our profit equals expenses. The concept is really simple. It's pay yourself first.
I like that idea. What about you, Robbie?
In the current formula, the sales and expenses come first, but your profit never comes because you know you're going to spend that money. So by taking your profit first, you're prioritizing what's important. And so what makes it effective is it's behavior-based. It works with your natural behavior, it's your default, and once you get the system in place, it runs smoothly and effortlessly, and your business automatically becomes more profitable. So I get to go, how do I implement this system? What is this? This sounds kind of interesting. I'd like to know a little bit more. So I like this analogy, right? We want our bodies to be fit. We want our businesses to be fit. It doesn't really matter whether we sell land or homes or widgets. And just like we as people are different, we all want to be fit and healthy, right?
Yeah. We want to stop this segment right now, if that's okay. This is our guest
that's
today,
good.
Susan Jane Kirkpatrick. Let's talk land. So, Susan, I want to learn how to pay myself first. I think Teresa would like to know that, and Rodney and Chad as well.
Okay, well, it's very easy. But first we have to talk about something else.
Uh-oh.
And that's going to be your diet.
Oh, no.
Ready, Lou?
No.
Because when we look at the diet industry, all right, it does have, we want a fit body, we want a fit business. So let's take the analogy of the diet industry, and we'll work with this for just a moment.
Okay.
So I have a girlfriend that struggled with weight, and she struggled for quite a while with it. So she finally hired a coach to help her. And so the coach only had four principles that she talked to her about to lose weight. And here were the four. So the simplest way to lose weight, and maybe you've heard some of these, is to reduce the size of the plates in your house.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, eat your vegetables first. Let's get all your nutrients first and fill up space in your stomach so you don't have room to, you know, continually eat that huge steak. Three, remove temptation. My personal one is chocolate and marshmallow peeps. So we just don't have it in the house, although my husband's a chocoholic, and he brings it home, but try not to have it readily available. And four is interesting. It's frequency. So most people eat 2 to 3 times a day, but then they get in a rush, we miss a meal, we go into starvation mode, and then we eat that entire bag of chips. So it's best to eat 5 small meals a day.
Okay.
So what we want to do is we're going to take these 4 simple principles and apply it to our business,
right,
so we can start taking our profit first. So the simplest way to lose weight is to reduce the size of your plates in your house. Well, why do you think the size of your plate matters? Have you ever heard of Parkinson's Law?
Actually, I have.
I have not.
Yeah. Good. I mean, I'm thinking I at some point did when I wasn't paying attention in school, but it came out, I was like, oh yeah, I've heard this before. So let's put this in a nutshell, because we don't have a whole lot of time and we're not getting into biology or anything. So Mr. Parkinson theorized this human behavior, that our demand for a resource increases to meet the supply of it. So more of a resource means the more we consume. So the bigger the plate, the more we eat. And back in high school biology, I learned that if you put a little fish in a little bowl, it will remain a little fish.
Right.
And if you put a little fish in a big bowl, it will grow to the size of his bowl. That's pretty interesting. And then I like to think about toothpaste, because I'm one of these innovative people with toothpaste. When you open a new tube, you find yourself, you just put it on your toothbrush, and if it happens to fall off your toothbrush into the sink, you wash it down, you put another squeeze on. Don't worry about it. But when you get to the end of the toothpaste, and I'm this person, but I'm sure you live with someone, a husband, a wife, a sister, brother, roommate, they can do some pretty miraculous things to get the toothpaste out of the tube.
Right.
Now, if it falls in the sink, we scoop it up and put it back on our toothbrush. Now, I just did this 2 days ago. I'm looking at this, and I'm going, I got to get a new thing of toothpaste. And I'm like standing on it, and I've got my elbow rubbing it, but I got it out of there. But what it is our behavior subconsciously adjusts based on supply. So you have a full tube of toothpaste, we use it all. Less toothpaste, we become innovative, conservative, frugal. So that's true with money, too. So we look at a big deposit that comes in, and our minds start to think, oh, we have money to spend. I can get that equipment or the software I've been wanting, or we can make that new hire we've been waiting to make. I can do this and I can do that. And boom, the money's gone. It's spent. So profit first. The process works with our human behavior, not against it. All right, so let's go back to plates. I get carried away here. We set up 5 separate bank accounts. These are your plates. 1 is a serving tray. 4 are your portions. So this is how it works. As the money comes in, it goes to the income serving tray, and the cash just sits there. Then, in a periodic basis, which I will talk about later, the money gets allocated to these different plates or accounts, their bank accounts, based on a predetermined percentage. So we take our profit out first at the predetermined percentage. Think about this. You have a holiday ham. Do you just put the whole ham, not sliced, on a tray, and you take it out, and you set it in front of your family, and you say, dig in? No, you don't do that. There's two things you do. You either brought it out already pre-sliced, right, into correct portions, or you doled it out in the kitchen so everybody got a portion of the ham. That's what we're doing with your money. Your money is that ham, and we're going to serve it to where it needs to go.
Okay.
So we're going to have five plates, all right? The first plate is the serving tray, and that's the income account. Then we're going to have the profit account. We're going to have a tax account. We're going to have an owner's pay account. And we're going to have an operating expense account.
Okay.
So the profit account is only to collect your profit. So in my business, every time a deposit comes in, I take 15% of the money and I immediately allocate it to profit. So at the end of every quarter and at the end of every year or so for the last six quarters, I've taken a 15% profit. Why? Because I took it first. I pre-allocated it. I came up with the percentage I was going to take, and I stuck it away.
Got it.
Now we have owner's pay. So you have employees?
Yes, we do.
I mean, I'm sure your listeners will have employees.
Well, they're not employees. They're independent agents, 1099.
Yeah, but if you had, I mean, even an independent agent, but if some of your listeners will have employees, so they might have an admin staff or something along those lines. But who's your best employee? Who is it?
Me.
It's you. Correct. You're the best employee.
Of course.
I mean, you took the risk to start the business.
Well, I'm my best employee.
You'll do anything for it, right?
Absolutely.
You'll work through holidays and late into the night when you should be in bed. And who works for little or no pay? Most of the time, yeah. It's the owner of the company. So that's why we have an owner's pay account, because they're going to sacrifice themselves for their employees, even for their agents. But I mean, how many times do you sacrifice a commission? It's supposed to be yours, and it's going somewhere in the business. It's not going to your account. It's not going to you. You earned it. Okay, and employees get paid on time, they take their vacations, but we don't take care of ourselves, and then we become resentful. I mean, I grumbled that my business took everything from me, borrowing money to pay the taxes, but to pay employees, and I'm not getting anything but pulling my hair out. So this is great, and I talk to a lot of companies that do this. They don't pay themselves. The owners don't pay themselves. Oh, someday I will. No, we're going to take it first. And now here's the tax account. So we're going to assume April 15th, all right? It could be March 15th, depending on if you're an S-Corp. But the tax bill is going to come due, and then you're going to panic because my accountant says I owe how much money? And I don't have it. I didn't put anything away. I didn't think of it. Or somehow I thought my accountant was a magician. And I might have to borrow or take the money from personal savings, or depending on where I am from past years, I might have to negotiate a payment plan with the IRS. We start the business for financial freedom, right? To reward ourselves. So the business pays your taxes for you, not just the business taxes, but the owner's payroll taxes, all right? And any other taxes, the company pays it, not the owner. And that's another topic for another day on how we come up with what the tax account is.
Okay.
That's another ball of wax, but believe me, it's separated. We're ready. And then, of course, now we have the operating, and that's the expense monster. So let's talk about, for a minute, the predetermined percentages. So Profit First Professionals, my colleagues, and we've done a lot of research on this, and Mike is always asking our input. We've analyzed and researched thousands of companies of different sizes, and we found that there's different categories of revenue that distinguish the most healthy and elite companies, and that these companies calculate their percentages very differently. So in the book, there are general percentage breakdowns for companies with certain revenue ranges, and we call those TAPs, T-A-P-S, or target allocation percentages. These are the percentages based on revenue that we felt that healthy companies should strive to be at. So in other words, I'll give you an example here.
Okay.
So let's pretend I'm in $1 million to $5 million a year real revenue range. Real revenue is after you pay commissions and referral fees. So a real revenue company, I figure what that number is after all commissions are paid and any referral fees are paid.
All right.
That's real revenue. So we got a big sale, we've paid the commissions, there's $10,000 of real revenue. So we put that in the income account called income. Then according to Mike's TAPS, if we are a healthy company and we've already attained healthy status, we can take these percentages. Profit is 10%. That means we put $1,000 in that profit account.
Okay.
At a company this size, only 10% goes to owner pay. $1,000 goes in the owner pay account. Tax, 15%. $1,500 goes right into the tax, into that account. And we are left with $6,500 to operate our company on. One more example.
Okay.
So most of my clients are here, zero to $250,000 a year real revenue. Again, remember, in other companies, like construction companies, it's materials and subs.
Right.
All right? But in real estate, it's going to be your commissions and your referral fees and anything that is based, you know, coming out of the sale and what's left for you.
Right.
And the company, what the company made. So let's pretend $1,000 of real revenue comes in. It goes into the income account. Then those target percentages are very different than the ones on the $1 million to $5 million. So only 5% is going to profit. That's $50 right away in the profit account. The owner pay, 50%. So for a company that's making between zero and $250,000 a year, 50% of that income should be going to you as owner's pay. That's $500. Tax, it's the same amount, 15%.
Right.
And that's another topic, but really through all these company sizes, 15% of a profit tax allocation covers just about everything. $150, and only 30%, $300 is left to operate the company on. So in the old way of thinking, you would see your money going into the checking account and say, oh, I have $1,000 to spend. Remember a GAAP formula?
Right.
Sales minus expenses equals profit. That formula keeps us in the cycle of sell to cover expenses, sell to cover expenses, and then we'll see if there's anything left over. Who wants to live on leftovers?
Mm.
Right? I don't.
No.
So that's where we kind of flip it on its head. And if you're familiar with churches or fund accounting, all right, you get designated funds. I'm making a $10,000 donation to my church, but you're only going to use it for the parish hall. Okay, that $10,000 comes in, it goes to the parish hall account, the building fund account, and when I have to make church makes repairs, it comes out of that account. This is what we're doing. We're designating a percentage of each dollar that comes into the business as revenue, real revenue, for specific purposes. And now I know where I am on my OPEX. So let's quickly run through some of these. We've got to go 2, 3, and 4. So we have veggies first.
Jane, I'm going to end this segment, if I may. This is our guest today, Susan Jane Kirkpatrick, okay. And this is Let's Talk Land.
Okay.
So, Susan, you're going to tell us about eating your veggies first.
Yeah, how exciting, huh? You
yeah,
were hoping I was
going to
say chocolate, but I know. All right, let's get back into this. So we're going to eat our veggies first, all right? So we've got a smaller plates. We got our plates. We're going to have all our servings. Now what are we going to do with what's in the plates? So on my girlfriend's personal journey with food, she had to make an emotional shift. And the most important one she had to do was she had to move meat from the center of her plate and replace it with nutrient-dense vegetables. So it was difficult only because of her mindset. So here's her usual thinking. What am I going to make for dinner? Well, I'm going to have chicken and maybe a potato side dish and some green beans. So the diet coach, she shifted her habit to, what am I going to make for dinner? It's going to be roots and shoots with a side of quinoa topped with a small slice of chicken breast.
Okay.
And just that simple change of putting the meat to the optional side.
Right.
The guru told her it felt difficult only because of the thought pattern. Once she was able to make the shift in her mind, the rest was easy. So just changing, and we have a lot of mindset gurus, okay, that changing your mindset can really impact your behavior. It's amazing. Let's think about this. What's the greatest savings mechanism in history is the 401k.
Right.
And that's the most dense nutrient on your veggie plate. So, like, if you're an employee, you get a gross check. Like, so my husband, he gets a gross check, and his taxes are taken out, and then the 401k is taken out, and then hopefully your employer matches it. That's even better.
Right.
And then you get a net check. So an example is $1,000 paycheck, $300 goes to taxes, $100 to savings, $600 net check. Parkinson's law is you got $600, not $1,000 in that net check. That's what's deposited in your bank account.
Right.
So employees, you know, you really should adjust the lifestyle to fit the net check. Sure, you make $120,000, but you're only bringing $90 home. Okay. So behind the scenes, that 401k money keeps piling up and piling up. So that's the pay yourself first mentality. All right. Always pay yourself first. The 401k is paying yourself because it's your savings. This system works for startups, public companies, even land brokerages.
All right.
And everything in between.
Sure.
So there's a 5 million advertising firm in Chicago that works with a profit first professional up there, and she's a whiz kid. But she tells the story where he would tell the team they got $1 million budget because $1 million check came in, so let's make it happen. But now he thinks, all right, I have to take 20% profit out and all the others, so now I only have an $800,000 budget. Make it happen. And they still make it happen for $200,000 less.
Right.
And that's what we're aiming for. Parkinson's law in business forces it to happen. The irony is if you take your profit first, your business won't suffer from it. It does not compromise your growth. It just doesn't.
It makes sense.
When you actually start to do it, it's amazing. So let's talk about number three. You got to remove the temptation. So that's no chocolate, no marshmallow peats, no Enstrom's toffee from Grand Junction, Colorado.
Boo.
Home, car, briefcase, desk drawer, office, gone. Okay, you can't have it around. So if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. But wait a minute. If you look at number three, remove temptation, there could be a flaw in the original account setup. Remember, we have profit, tax, owner's pay. So profit and tax are piling up, right? So you set up the profit and tax account in your business. Everything's ticking along smoothly. Cash is accumulating in those two accounts. And then, you know, 1 month, business goes crap. Big land sale falls right through. Things are not going right. You might even have two that just decide to crater in 1 month. And now you don't have enough in the operating account to feed the expenses. But there's that profit and tax account with cash piled up. I'll just borrow from it real quick. Well, if I'm borrowing from my profit account, I'm just stealing from Peter to pay Paul. But if I take the tax money, I'm actually stealing from the government.
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, you're stealing from the government. You're not stealing from you. You're stealing from the government. That's the government's money. We all don't like to have that silent partner, but we have them. So the second you don't have enough money to pay out of the operating expenses, then that's when you got to take a hard look. What's your business is yelling and shaking you to say you're not running the business efficiently enough, and you have to find more innovative ways to do it. And that's one of the ways I help companies is I help them go through that expense list where they don't see the forest for the trees. They just get mired in there, and I actually can help them dive in and think about what those expenses are.
Okay.
So we remove temptation. We take the profit and tax account at the primary bank, and we set them up at another bank. So every time I transfer into the original profit and tax account, I immediately then transfer them to another bank out of sight, out of mind. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, you know, so here's how it works for me. I have a Capital One account, again, as I said. So I can log into Capital One, and I've now zeroed out my income account. I have a profit, and I have a tax, and my owner's pay, and I've probably taken the owner's pay. Those profit and taxes are building up right there. But what I want to do is I'm going to take that money, and so I'm not always looking at it, and I deep six it over to BB&T. And I can't get to it easy. I don't have, you know, some people don't do online access.
Right.
I have to have online access, but there's no transfers. It just sits there
until
I need to pull it out to make my tax payment or my profit distribution. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that way, it makes it very hard. You have to do a double thought to take that money. It's not easy to get. And now, once you really have made that move, it is hard for you to take the money. So it helps you become more innovative. So number four, and this is the frequency. So it's like, oh, when do I take the money? Do I have to do this like every time I get a deposit? I'll be like going crazy. No. The nutrition guru had her eating five times a day, and this is what worked with my girlfriend and kept her on track. So we're going to find the ideal rhythm in the profit first system. Well, here's an example of rhythm, and maybe something you do. I mean, you're in North Carolina, then you're kind of close to the ocean like we are. So when I go to the beach, or like, and I'm from New Jersey, so it's really the shore. You look for the waves, you put your chair down, you pick up your book, and you realize the water is just touching your toes, and you found the perfect spot. And then all of a sudden, later you stop reading, and the water is no longer touching your toes. You pick up your chair, and you waddle the edge, and it's now touching your feet again. Or there are those times that you kind of take a cat nap, and poof, you're dumped on, the wave comes up over you, and now you're drenched. That's when you move your chair back. So this adjusting your chair and moving back and forth is simply a way of measuring tidal conditions.
Okay.
It's a very simple way to measure the tides. So we're going to measure the tides in your business. So in Profit First, in the book, Mike suggests the 10-25 rule. I'll get into this. And I tried other dates, but I prefer the 10-25 rule. And so that is the 10th and the 25th. So we're going to move money on the 10th and the 25th, just twice a month. Most companies can get away with this. I have one company that we do it once a week, but most my company is the 10th and the 25th. Sometimes it's not the 11th and it's the 26th. Okay, I'm very close.
I understand.
But the reason why is your vendor bills are usually due on the 15th or the end of the month, right?
Right.
And this makes sure that all the bills, including the credit card payments, are paid in a timely manner. And the distributions from those come from the operating account. All right, I have the income account. Any money that comes into the business at that time, it sits, it just keeps accumulating in the account. So on the 10th of the month is when I go in and I make the allocations to the other plates and I zero it out. I transfer all of it into the other four accounts based on my pre-allocated percentages that I've come up with or I've helped a company come up with for their business.
Right.
And we don't jump right into those taps. We kind of work our way through that in quarters. You can't automatically go from 74% in operating expenses down to 30. That's you can't do that.
Right.
But so that's how we determine the percentages. So on the 10th comes, I zero it out. And then it starts accumulating again, and on the 25th I go in and I just zero it out. And this rhythm is a simple cash flow metric. It's your KPI. It's the one you look at. It's your cash. So I simply look at the income bank account on the 10th and the 25th or the day before, and I see what the balance is. And I know intimately. Okay, every entrepreneur should know what their cash is. And if there's not a certain amount in there, I'll recognize it. And if there's more, oh, great, somebody paid their bill. Okay, if I've had some accounts receivable outstanding. And then if it's off, then I might be doing something wrong. And as I mentioned before, with land and real estate, you know, your commissions, that money doesn't come in at a set time. So then we have to, we set up a drip account, and we make that money drip in. All right.
Okay.
And so that's a little bit of an extra step, but it's not hard. It's all done on a spreadsheet, and then we just drip it out. So you always have enough available cash to get through those times that the commissions fall through, the land sales fall through, or it's slow, like Christmas time, and nothing's happening. We work that in, and it's important to do that. So the other rhythm that you take is your profit distribution. So remember, the money is building up in the profit account, and we take it four times a year, every fiscal quarter. So if you listen to Bloomberg Radio or Wall Street Journal, those companies they make their quarterly distributions. You do the same thing, too. Doesn't matter whether you're a sole proprietorship or an LLC, an S-Corp. That's have nothing to do with it. These are your little profit account, and you're going to make a quarterly distribution. And what we do is we take half of it, and we go play. And the other half is for a rainy day fund. All right? That could be your 401k. That could be however you want to designate it to. So when you take that distribution, which that half of it, it's for celebratory purposes only. And that's it. You're not going to reinvest it in the business. You're not going to plow it back in. You're going to go take it, and you're going to take a vacation. You might put it towards a Disney World trip. You might go out to have a nice dinner, okay? But when you start plowing it back into the business, okay, there are turns when you might want to think something is fun to buy for the business that you absolutely need, and we determine that the ROI is perfect. Possibly we could do that. But a lot of times those are fancy terms for saying, I can't run my business efficiently on these reduced operating expenses, so I'm just going to put more money in.
Right.
So we want that profit. That's amazing vacation. Buy something you always wanted and take that profit distribution. So it's rewarding me. And we can get into it on what's the difference between profit and owner's pay. Big difference. Owner pay is for the work you do. The profit is for you taking the risk of running the company. They're totally different.
Right.
And you have to wear those two hats when you're thinking about it. But, and I hear about debt. What about debt? What do I do? I've got credit card debt from last year. I've got to pay it off. Well, we're going to freeze it. We're going to crush it. But we're going to do it in a good behavior way. So people a lot of times say they won't do the system because they're not profitable. They have credit card debt. They think they have to get profitable to pay off the debt. But let's look within our human behavior standpoint. The way we deal with debt and profit first system is not ignore it. It's not to say I can't do it. So I'm sure some of your listeners have read Dave Ramsey's book, Total Money Makeover. If they haven't, I highly recommend it.
Okay.
He has a strategy that he calls the debt snowball. And we use that strategy within profit first. So we arrange your debts from smallest due to highest due, not interest due, smallest due to highest due amounts. You continue to make all your minimum payments each month from your OPEX account. But when you get your profit distribution, you use it to pay down the smallest debt first. And each distribution goes towards paying off all debt from smallest to largest. So your celebration with your profit is getting out of debt.
Got it.
So we want to freeze that debt, and then we're going to crush it, because that means, freeze it means we're trying not to go into more debt. So the goal is ultimately to eradicate the debt and start living on the operating expenses and the owner's pay that you can afford. But in the short term, the way we deal with it is to chunk away at the debt piece by piece, periodically out of the profit account. So once you start eradicating the credit card debt, you have what Dave calls the debt snowball. So we start with the smallest debt first, because confidence builds, because you feel good about being free of that debt. So you start paying the debt off, you get more confidence, and you see the system is working. That's Pandora. Sorry. I've seen it work. One of my colleagues has a client who took his profit and paid almost $1 million in business debt. All right, so that's the end game. And once the debt is paid off, now you can start taking your vacation. So I always tell people, don't let debt be a stumbling block for you. Use a portion of the profit to pay down the debt.
I like it.
But the biggest stumbling block that I come up with is just being consistent and accountable with the system.
So I think consistency is the hardest part of everything.
Well, it's, you're accountable something means that you're willing to make commitments and be responsible for your own actions. And this promotes trust between you and the people around you. So when my girlfriend tried to lose the weight on her own, she just really had a hard time, and she told me on how many times she'd go to bed and say to herself, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and stay away from the donuts and plan my five meals and stick to it. Then it's 2 p.m. again, and she skipped lunch and snack, and she struggled with this for quite a while. And then she finally hired her personal diet coach, and the diet coach came up with a diet, helped her implement it, helps her commit to it, and helps her stick to the goals. So once she made an appointment to talk to the coach, she was far more likely to follow the correct diet program for her. And by the way, it's 5 years later, and she's kept the weight off, and she's still using.
Hello?
So you need someone that can help you be accountable in your profit-first goals. And your bookkeeper or accountant needs to know what you're doing, because they become your ultimate accountability partner in the process. Keeping you on track. So I highly recommend that all your listeners, you know, rush out to Amazon and buy Profit First. And it's a fascinating book. It's a fun book. And you can actually start doing this right away, today, from your next check. It's not like, oh, it's already January 15th, I can't start. No, you can start right now with your next check. So it's Profit First. Transform your business from a cash-eating monster to a money-making machine.
I'm ready. You ready, Teresa?
Yes, I am.
You got some questions, Teresa?
Well, I love it. I think it all sounds good. The consistency, I think, is going to be the hard part for me. I'm not a consistent person. That's been my issue.
That's the hard, that's the biggest, that's the part, is setting it up so you'll do it. And, but it's just like the diet coach, Teresa, if you try it and you kind of get in the mode, you'll feel so good about it that, and it's not like running down the block and killing yourself. Okay, it's, you know, it's like how many times do we start an exercise program? But once you start hanging out with friends and start doing it, you'll feel better. I think you will. So get the book.
Oh, I will get the book for sure. And the Dave Ramsey book too.
Yes, that's a great book.
So tell us about your book, Susie's Business Survival Guide.
Yes, that's my little ebook that you can download on my website.
Okay.
My website is www.bookkeeping21.com. And these are just some pointers that I've, you know, I think there's 10 or 12 little things I point out that as a business owner, you really need to know what's going on in your business, some mistakes to avoid, how to read your statements and what they mean, and things along that line. And so it's things that kind of get you started. And if a lot of entrepreneurs that are starting don't understand some of the accounting that they need to know and what those numbers are trying to tell them. And that's what my business survival guide goes over.
Okay.
So if you want it, you can go to www.bookkeeping21.com and just put in your email. And I promise I don't spam. I don't sell my stuff or anything. It's just me. And I'll get you off that, the copy of my ebook.
Perfect.
I can also, if you like,
please.
If my website, there's a place to ask for the first two chapters of Bookkeeping 21, yeah, of Profit First. So if you go to my website and look for, I think it's on page 2 under Mike Michalowicz's information, you can just put your email address in there, and I'll send you the two chapters, the first two chapters of his book.
Oh, okay.
Free.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, perfect. Just, I want to go back on something because I'm real curious.
Yes.
You know, being in the brokerage business and now having our own company, you know, working for others for years and then starting our own about 5 years ago. How did you take your company from 300,000 to 23 million with an 800 population?
Well, one of the best things we did, and you just said it, is join United Country Real Estate. I started here to plug United Country Real Estate.
Absolutely.
But they were a major incentive for us.
Okay.
We have Chama, New Mexico, is at the time, you know, 800 people. We're on the Colorado border, a ranching community. And we just started to implement systems. I wanted my company to be like any other a company in Santa Fe. I wanted to say, okay, let's take this company and put it in Santa Fe. Well, what are they doing? Well, we got a website, 1996, first website with all of our listings and the things like that. So I tried to copy that. We also did a little bit more marketing on our subdivisions and on describing the beautiful country and what the benefits of living in Chama were to you as a person. Not the features of the properties, but more of the feeling and the benefits of living here is going to do for your lifestyle. And then, of course, we had some great land to sell, and then we managed to get a giant, one of the ranches that we had on the market for, like, you know, I guess it was 8 years. That was a big sale. It was an $8 million sale, and it took me almost 2 years to get it closed, and that helped with us, along with the economy at the time. We were at 2006,
right.
So we had a great lead-up. Mortgage were freeing up, so we took advantage of we taught our sellers how to give good financing so that people could come up and buy their properties. And so we did a lot of innovative things along that line.
Right.
But then we joined United Country, and they opened up a world of being able to offer our agents competition, some ideas, some goals, be a part of a group, help us, you know, be part of the rural community. Because we felt isolated in northern New Mexico.
Sure.
Because we didn't even have a stoplight. It was 81 miles away. And so that's, and we joined United Country in 1999, I believe, or 2000, somewhere in there. And so that, you know, we didn't start growing. I mean, we started growing within our third year. I remember sitting at the convention. Christy Anderson was my managing broker.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And Salida had just won their convention. We were in San Antonio, and Christy and I looked at each other, and we said, we can do this.
Yeah, exactly.
We can do this. And that's what we did.
Yeah.
I mean, sent her off to broker school, I mean, to CRB, and just pursued the resources that were available to us, and really made the most out of United Country and what they offered us as resources.
And they're still growing, and they're still creating. You know, they're pushing us to do a lot of social marketing, which, you know, the YouTube and the Facebook and so on. And
But we did a lot of our own marketing. I mean, we used theirs, but we really did a lot. We focused on our personal marketing for our area, and so that helped an awful lot.
Yeah, we do a lot of
mail. We did our own real estate book. We published our own book twice a year.
Right.
And we made sure that book went everywhere. It was everywhere.
And we do a lot of mailings.
We had a goal on who could get as most signs up as possible.
Yeah. Sign, sell.
Yes. Yeah, we had all sorts of things like that. And we kept the agents accountable. We had business plans. Every agent had a business plan.
Ooh, I like that idea.
We sat down with every one of them, and we had a business plan, and we knew how long the listings were going to sit on the market, the career listings versus the new listings, and how I was going to sell them, and how many times we were going to have to show them to get them sold. We had all that done. All the things that United Country asked for the brokers to do, we did them.
Go ahead, Joyce.
You know, my biggest problem is time management. Have you got any pointers for that?
Chunking. I call it chunking. And that is absolutely sticking with your calendar. So you set your big chunks first, go in vacation time, maybe even your doctor's appointments.
Your radio show.
And things that are, you know, dinner with your husband so he doesn't look at you like you have two heads because he hasn't seen you in a month. Those are the big chunks. And then you start scheduling down from there, and you actually use the calendar so that when it's time for you to run marketing every Monday morning, maybe it's, you know, from 8 to 10, that's my marketing 2 hours. Then from there, I'm going to make my calls from maybe 10 to noon, and then again from 3 to 5, whatever those, you know, your prospecting calls. And then I'm going to follow up on email, and then telling your clients exactly what to expect from you as an agent. I'm going to call you back here. You're going to get this response from me. In 4 days, you're going to get this. You'll call me back here. My hours are not 24/7. I have a life. I'm available here unless you have an emergency.
Okay. Thank you, Susan.
So give us your contact information. We'll close the show out.
Great. It's Susan Kirkpatrick, or Suze, S-U-Z-E, is my nickname that my dad gave me. You can reach me at Susan@bookkeeping21. That's BookKeeping21.com. Give me a call at 855-255-2121.
Perfect.
Or go to the website, www.bookkeeping21.com, and order, I mean, put your email in and download some of my free information.
Perfect. Stand by. Thank you for joining us today. Let us know how you liked our show. If you have any questions or guests or topics we'd like to suggest, we'd appreciate them. All questions are welcome, and all of our guests may be emailed with your questions or concerns as well. This show is for the public and, most importantly, for real estate agents who do not have a source of land education. All shows are downloaded after they're broadcast on our master website, letstalkland.net, letstalkland.net, Podbeam, and Spotify. You can contact me at lou@mylandpro.com. My cell number is 336-669-1405.
And I'm Teresa Martin, and my phone is 336-209-2937. And my email is teresa.mylandpro@gmail.com.
Perfect. Ronnie, how do they get in touch with us here?
Well, they can go to our website, Lou. They can go to WKTE1090.com, click on our website, and also they can download the Simple Radio app and listen to us anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. Simple Radio app.
That's it.
Got it on my phone.
That's right. Everybody does. It's the best way right there.
That's right. And we're beach music and oldies, and we only play happy music.
Happy, happy music. That's right. Yep. Nominated 5 years in a row for being the top beach radio station on the East Coast.
Wow. And you got a nice award not too long ago.
Yes, last year, the 2019 Reader's Choice Award for the Announcer of the Year.
Wonder why.
I have no clue.
All right, stay tuned for Dr. Barbie.